The Bedlam Stacks, written by Natasha Pulley and read by David Thorpe.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Heligan Estate, Cornwall, August 1859. Although I hadn't been shot at for years, it took me a long time to understand that the bang wasn't artillery. I sat up in bed to look out of the window, half balanced on my elbows, but there was nothing except a spray of slate shards and moss on the little gravel path 3 floors below. There had been a storm in the night, huge, one of those that takes days and days to form and gives everyone a headache, and the rain must have finally worked loose some old roof tiles. In its bell jar, which kept damp from the mechanisms, the clock thunked around to 7:20. I sat still, listening, because I'd been sure the noise had been much louder than a few smashed tiles. The bunches of plants drying in the rafters were pattering seeds into their paper bags. Somewhere above them, on the roof, the weather vanes squeaked. Nothing else fell. Once my heart was convinced there was no gunfire, I tried to slide my cane out from under the dog. "Gulliver," I gave it a tug. She rolled over and lay at an unnatural angle while I got dressed, paws crooked under their own weight. When I stroked her ears, she bumped her nose into my stomach, trying to herd me back into bed. Gigantic anyway, and overfed, she was as heavy as me and almost managed it, but even with a cane I could still just about outmanoeuvre a sleepy St. Bernard. "No, sorry, time for a walk," I said. "Let's see if the greenhouse is still in one piece." She snorted at me, but padded through the door when I opened it for her. My head bowed because the rafters were low. Outside were 6 steep steps which she took at an old lady's pace, although in fact she was quite young. The way was so narrow that her sides touched the walls. There were polished parts on the wainscoting that represented a year of morning and evening passages, by far the most looked-after section of wall anywhere in the house. I eased down after her. My leg hurt, but I got down 4 steps before I had to pause, which was a big improvement on 6 months ago. Along the corridor were dislocated views over the gardens through windows whose panes had been made from patchworks of older stained glass, full of truncated bits of Latin and saints' robes, all of them rattly on the windward side. The cold and the damp seeped in round the edges. When I came home after a long time away, it was always freshly horrible that there were happy slugs and moss in the inside grooves. But I'd been back for long enough now to have lapsed into a hopeless effort not to see it. Down the dark stretch on the next stairs, 10 steps, none quite the same height, I ran my hand along the wall to keep my balance. The door at the bottom stuck fast at less than halfway open. Gulliver had to squeeze through, and I turned sideways. Though the landing looked just as pokey as the last, it led out suddenly onto the main staircase, where all the portraits of previous Tremaines and Lemons hung down the left-hand wall. Nearer the top were people in army uniforms and nicely rumpled silk, whose names I didn't know, and down near the door of Charles's study were the few I would have recognised out of context, a couple of our mother's brothers and the aunt who had taught me to shoot. Last was our grandfather, who looked like me, blonde and fast ageing. A still life of some fruit hung where our father should have been. Now there was a carpet of pine needles and broken bits of timber over the middle of the floor. I twisted round to see upward. Although there were, on my side, 3 floors to the house, on this side it was just galleries off the staircase. The ceiling was the roof. Being windowless, it was usually gloomy, with deep shadows between the vaults of the rafters, but now there was quite a big hole. Hanging down through it was a rotten branch, still attached, just, to the old pine tree. It had been defying gravity for months,